and welcome to another edition of the Jersnet podcast, the independent Rangers podcast by fans, for fans, where all the content is absolutely free. Tonight, as always, we are coming to you in association with Forest Precision Engineering. I'll be your host this evening, and we'll be looking back at today's domination of Queen's Park, as well as looking forward to what is going to be a pivotal month in the title race. But before we get into that, I want to encourage you over to visit the Jersnet website. Not only do we have our main website with a host of quality articles and online museum, but it also hosts our popular forums, which are a great place to keep up to date with the latest Rangers news and discussion. Now, tonight, as always, we are live on YouTube, and we'd ask that you continue to spread the word amongst your friends and family, share the pod on social media, subscribe to the channel as well, as stop by the forums and join in the chat there too. Now, I need to give another mention to our partners over at Forest Precision Engineering. They're a Glasgow-based engineering company who have been a big commercial supporter of Rangers and Jersnet for a number of years, and we are delighted to have them supporting the pod. If you want more information about them, please visit their website at www.forestprecisioneng.com. They've also got a stunning executive lounge in the Ibrox main stand, and for more information on that, you can email the club at hospitality@rangers.co.uk. Now, we have a nice intimate show for you tonight. Joining me for this one is the one and only John McCallum. John, how are you doing, sir?
Slightly unnerved by you describing this as intimate, but beyond that, I'm okay, I think. Beyond that, I think I'm okay. He protesteth too much, I think. But I'm good. A lot better than this time last year. When we had to play Queen's Park in the Scottish Cup. So it's nice to be on. Frankly, it's nice to be on after a victory. I don't think I've been on after a victory since Steven Gerrard was the manager. I am the original Jonah. So, clearly you're bringing the good luck tonight. Enough to rub off some in me.
Fingers crossed, mate. It's been a nice little run, actually. You know, when you consider where we were before Danny Rule came in, to where we are now, I don't think any of us, and we'll talk about it in a wee bit, but I don't think any of us could have predicted just how good a job he could have done and where we would be sitting contemplating the rest of the season in February.
He was third choice. Imagine where we'd be if we'd got our first or second choices.
Aye, absolutely. But we've obviously got to start with the Queen's Park game today, mate. And he made seven changes from that win, well, at least I think it was seven, from the win against Kelly. And I think on paper, it looked a bit like a 4-4-2, but I definitely think there's a wee bit of movement of shape and stuff in-game. But we started with Kelly in goal, even though I had a senior moment and was calling him Butland for some reason in the first half. Taff, Sterling, Jigga and Robbins made up the back four. We then had Olsen and Antman out wide with Chuck Gwani and Diamandi in the middle, with Miowski and Nadiri up front. Any surprises for you there, John, with that starting lineup?
I think when I first looked at it, I was surprised it was as strong as it was. And like you say, then you looked at it and realised, actually, we've actually made quite a lot of changes to the team from the other night. And yet, that's a strong lineup. So that in itself was surprising when you realise that we'd have a wee bit of depth about us just now. I was surprised to see Tav start. I believe he wasn't supposed to start, but something happened and he needed to start. So I was a little surprised to see him start. I was actually a bit surprised to see Sterling start. I thought he might get a rest, and with two big games coming up, I thought they might rest Sterling, but they didn't. So I was a little surprised to see him start. I was pleased to see Kelly start. I think Kelly has probably earned a game. So I was pleased to see him start. Didn't have much to do, but I was pleased to see him start. I was looking forward to seeing Roman. I was looking forward to seeing Nadiri. So I was delighted with the lineup when I saw it. I was really pleased with it. I thought that's quite an attacking lineup. That's what we need to be doing here. And I was pleasantly surprised once I got over my incredulity or about who we were playing. Surprised to realise actually that's a lot of changes. You know, that we are, you know, we are using the squad. It's just that the squad looks a little better than it did back in August.
I think that was the thing that struck me as well, to be honest. It was like, you look at the amount of changes that we made, and there was some players who had been playing really well for us that weren't even near the starting lineup today, and it does give you a bit of bit of comfort to know that we do have a little bit more of that defence in depth that we've actually wanted for a while. And I think the other thing for me was I was personally really happy to see the four new signings start.
Yeah.
And I think the great thing is the physicality that they bring to the team as well, John. And I think that was evident the way that we kind of played Queens, certainly in that first half. You know, they seem to be right up for it. And Chukwuanyi in the middle is just an absolute beast of a boy. And you know, looked really, really comfortable within that team.
Yeah, I mean, the big change, and I pardon the pun, but the big change is suddenly how tall this Rangers team is. And that earlier this season, we were a small team. And suddenly, I don't know how Rod and I made them grow. I don't know if you saw that. I don't know. There was an interview after the match, and Roe was standing next to Stephen Craigan and Alan Hutton. And even he's tall. And you're thinking, hang on, you weren't tall. So what are they doing in there? Have they got a rack by in Auchenhowie or something? They're pulling them. Because suddenly we're a tall team. And, you know, clearly that's deliberate. Clearly, you know, he's looking for that physicality, and you see that more and more in modern football. He's clearly looking for that physicality. And I think you need that when you're playing a championship side. You really do need that when you're playing a championship side, because, you know, we've been in the championship. We know the difference in level between the championship and, you know, at least half the teams in the SPL is negligible. You know, you could take any four or five of them out and put them in either league, you wouldn't notice a huge difference. You know, they're all much the same. So we're going to get a game. And you do know that, you know, they'll be physical. They'll be energetic. They'll be fit. You got to match that. And you got to beat that. And I think that's the big change from last year. That, you know, physically, we were all over Queen's Park. We didn't give them a second on the ball. And that, I think, is that's a huge change that goal has somehow magicked out of nowhere, because we weren't under Martin. We were getting bullied in games under Martin. And he somehow changed that, and now, you know, 6, 7, 8 of the players seem to be over 6 foot tall. You know, we're a physically imposing football team just now, and that's great. That's really, really helpful, because Scottish football is physical.
I think that's one of the things that's kind of gone unnoticed really since Danny Rose joined, isn't it? It's that he seems to have just got Scottish football since he's come in as manager. You know, the signings are one thing and adding much more physicality into the team, but it's also the way that he's adapted to some of the games as well, with the different types of formations that we've played in some of the games, and I guess taking a much more pragmatic view. You know, he doesn't seem to be a manager that is tied to a specific system. He has definitely from the Smith playbook, which is you pick whatever formation and system is going to suit that game to get the win, and that's the way he seems to approach management. I think the great thing about today was, and we'll dissect it a wee bit more as we go on, is that we've seen a lot more going forward, and as you say, the counter pressing that he likes to talk about, and there was much more of that hunting in packs today. Yeah. Whereas before, it's been a little bit disjointed, but you could see 2, 3, 4 players, boom, in, swarming the Queens player, getting the ball back high up the pitch, and then we were in the danger areas again. So it was really refreshing to see.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Roel is a pragmatist. You know, like everybody, he wants to have possession of the football. He knows what you can see. How we probe, how we move the ball around. There's a style to how we play, but he's a pragmatist. You know, he doesn't have a problem with putting a high ball in the box. He doesn't have a problem with mixing it up when that's what's needed. And I find it ridiculous that we're even commenting on that. Of course, he's a pragmatist. You need to be a pragmatist. You know, if you're going to manage anything, then you have to work with A, the tools you've got, and B, the job you've been given. So pragmatism should be exactly what we need. Our last manager was the opposite of a pragmatist, and we saw what happened there. And we've seen some other clubs who've appointed people who are not pragmatists, and we've seen what happened with them. You have to be a pragmatist, and Roel is doing that very, very well. And today was a perfect example of that, because I think whilst most of us went in fairly confident, there is still the potential for a banana skin. You know, if Queen's Park had managed to, you know, nullify us for the first 45 minutes, the crowd would be starting to get in folks' backs again, and there's a bit of anxiety, and, you know, suddenly we're all getting a bit of PTSD from last season. And, you know, it could have gone wrong, and in actual fact, he did absolutely everything right. He understood exactly how to play them. He, the game plan worked absolutely perfectly. And it's not often we get to say that on the Chelsnet podcast on a Sunday night, but the game plan was absolutely perfect. Every part of it worked perfectly.
Aye, and like you say, I mean, getting off to that fast start, you know, scoring in what, the 7th or 8th minute. But again, just a sign of how effective the coaching team that he's brought in alongside them. You're another set piece that we scored from. You know, we can kind of put that down to the impact that Scott Fry's had. But I think the thing that really impressed me was Nadiri's movement from that corner. You know, I think he'd started out way to the right hand side of the box, which he'd done a couple of times during the game, and then just ghosted in, totally unmarked, and it was a really good ball from Tav straight on his head, and he slotted it past the keeper. But it was a good sign and indication of things that are working well for us at the moment on that front.
Before the goal, there was another set piece where we took the short corner, and we've done this a few times recently where we take the short corner, the corner taker takes it short, the guy gives it, he kind of runs round him, he then gets it back and kind of crosses it in from almost like the edge of the box, right? So they went to do that, except this time someone did the overlap one, hit the byline, and they cut it back. It would have been a beautiful goal because it absolutely bamboozled the Queen's Park defence. And at that moment I thought, right, now they really are working on these things, because we've not seen that one before. That's a new one. I hadn't seen that one before. We've seen the short corner and then take it from there. You think that's good, and that seems to be working quite well. And if you've got some decent guys in the box and you get a half decent ball in, you've got a decent chance. But that was a new move. And of course, what we know is the opposition will be watching, and they'll be like, right, we don't actually know now. You don't know what Rangers are going to do with my corner. We were the most predictable side in the entire planet from set pieces for about the last 3 years, which was enormously frustrating because we got so many set pieces, and the opposition were more likely to score from one of our corners than we were for a long period. Now we're dangerous from corners, and that was a perfect example. I mean, what, he's like 6'4" or something, isn't he? You know, see, a 6'4" centre forward finds himself unmarked. That doesn't happen by accident. You know, there's things happening there. There's players being pulled, like you say. He made a nice run, finds himself with time, and buries his header. That's all he can ask for. And the thing is, Tav has taken some. I know we might probably talk about Tav tonight. You know, Tav has taken some criticism, you know, particularly in the last couple of seasons. You know, the last 18 months or so, he's taken quite a bit of criticism. And some of the criticism he's taken is that, you know, maybe the set pieces, maybe other people need to get a go at some of the set pieces. His deliveries today were brilliant. And we know he can do that. And when it works and there's something to actually, somebody to aim for, you know, we're dangerous. So it was a great goal to score, Rob, a great time to score it. You know, and that really, you know, that settled the crowd. It was no more than we deserved. And I think that set the tone for the rest of the match then after that, because again, you and I watch Rangers teams that score one early and then, you know, the game fizzles out a wee bit, and suddenly the opposition, you know, they get to half time and it's only 1-0, and you know, it was good that wasn't how we did it. That was good that we realised no, just keep putting the foot down to the floor.
Yeah, it wasn't. Is a really good segue into the next wee bit, because it did then turn into a bit of the Tav show, to be honest. You know, he gets a hat trick to kind of put us up 4-0 up in the first half, which was amazing. But the first goal was actually a really, really good team move, and it kind of finished off with the long 1-2 between Diomande to Romans and then back, and Diomande clips it into that back post for Tav. Now, he gets a little bit lucky with the ball kind of not really being cleared by the Queen's defence, but it was a really good finish to get onto it first. And that was the thing that really impressed me today. It wasn't just the fact that we won 8-0. The way we were moving the ball, we were moving it with a bit more intent, with a bit more purpose, with a little bit more pace, which is what we've been crying out for a while. You know, rather than this slow side to side, when we were moving it from wing to wing, it looked as if it was a lot quicker. And again, a lot of that was flowing through Diamandi and Chukwuanyi in the middle. Yeah. So I thought it was really, really good team goal that was worth calling out for Tav's first, actually.
Yeah, it was. And like you say, there was an element of fortune in that the ball dropped from. But at the same time, he challenged for the header. Stuart Queen's Park defenders challenged him with him. You know, he got up well. He challenged for the header. He reacted first. So let's take nothing away from him. Let's take nothing away from the 34-year-old fullback, you know, who you know, put in a pretty good challenge with a good leap, good challenge for the header, and reacted first and stuck it away. So, you know, if he was a centre forward, you'd be saying, well, that's what you expect from centre forwards. We expect that from our ageing right back. So that was very pleasing. And like you say, it was a nice move. I'm nervous about saying this, but I really like what I've seen of Romans, and he seems to be in how long of much football have we seen him play? You know, like 110 minutes or something that we've seen him play. And I think we also have to caveat that with, you know, the opposition he's been against so far. In both games he's been at home, he hasn't had to do a lot of defending, so I don't know what he's going to be like at that. But going forward, you know, he caught the eye, and he certainly helped Ant-Man today. Mm-hmm. And he was integral for that goal for Tav. He was heavily involved in that. He made the left-hand side of our pitch. You know, he gave us options there. Mm-hmm. He gets forward. He makes life easier for the players in front of him. He gives them options, and he has his head up. He reminds me of Arthur Newman. Mm-hmm. And that's when as I said, I'm never saying that out loud. I haven't seen enough of him play. I'd never seen him play before he joined Rangers. I haven't seen enough of him play for Rangers to say that's when it. But there's something about the way he runs. There's something about the way he's got his head up that he just reminds me of Arthur Newman. The last guy I remember who kind of played like that in that position. So if he's half as good as him, I'll be quite pleased.
Yeah, I was going to touch on him a wee bit further on the agenda, but we'll do it now actually, because I'm the same, mate. I think you can sometimes tell when, you know, you've got a player by the way that he moves on the pitch and the runs that he makes. And I think the thing that I really like about him is a lot of variation in his play. He doesn't do the same thing over and over and over again. Yeah. You know, he'll go on the outside, he'll underlap. I think, you know, when he gets into that final third, he can put a really good ball into the box. But he's also looking for a target. So if he needs to cut it back, he'll cut
his heads
it back
up
as well.
That's what I like as well. His head's up. He's not firing that across. His head's up. He's looking for somebody.
And you can tell that he's thinking about what he's doing before the ball's coming to him. He does seem to, like you say, we've got to caveat that we haven't really seen him under any defensive pressure yet. Yep. But the signs are really good. And I think the good thing is it'll help Magoma. Because the pressure has been on Magoma in that left back spot, and he's done a decent job considering he's really been the only fit left back. But if he can learn from Romans and improve his game, then it's going to push both of them on. And that strength and depth, I think, is something that's going to suit us or really help us when we start to look at the games that we've got coming up over the next wee while. We're going to need to have lots of players playing well, especially as the important games come round.
And if we're asking our fullbacks to do as much attacking as they are, you know, then they're going to need a rest. You know, if there's a midweek game, then you could see at the other one starting, you know, or bringing one of them on with 20 minutes to go, and just, you could absolutely see that. And the reason I mentioned them when we were talking about Tav was, of course, that's what Tav did. You know, Tav, for years, Tav, you know, all his strength was in attacking. And like you say, he scored a hat trick today. Which, you know, a right back gets another hat trick. We just accept that. But I think often we've relied on him, and we've not had the same balance on the left. And if Romans is bringing that in, and suddenly we can come down either wing just as well, then I think that's going to be enormously helpful. And I also think having give Olsen in front of Tav will be hugely helpful for him as well, because, you know, he's the of the four that's come in, he's the one that played the least football. So he's going to need a few games to get going. But you've seen glimpses from him, you realise, yeah, there's a player there. And it's, you know, I don't think he's the kind of guy that's going to beat three. He's not going to beat three players. He's not a dribbler as such, but he's an intelligent footballer. Yeah. There's a presence there. He'll cover Tav. He'll come inside and let Tav go outside of him. You know, he'll do both of those things. And I think that's going to make a big difference to Tav as well, because I think that'll help Tav defensively. And if you've got, you know, two of the three kind of sitting midfielders covering Tav as well, then I think we might get a wee bit more out of our captain before the season's done.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you say, you know, the fact is, I think that hat-trick takes him to, what, 13 goals this year, but only one behind Laurent Blanc now in the all-time scoring list for defenders. So
is that right?
I think it... I read it on Twitter, mate, so it must be true.
That's a cracking statistic, isn't it?
But I think it does show that while he is being phased out and we do need to think of a succession plan, there is still a lot that he can contribute. Now, we know he's got his defensive frailties, but he still pops up with goals. He still pops up with assists. And again, some of the games that we've got coming up, it may well be that we see somebody like a Sterling going in at right back, who's maybe a little bit more solid defensively. I don't trust Aarons. You know, I don't think any of us really do.
No.
So you've got Sterling and you've got Tav, and I think that's going to be a really good mix, hopefully, for the remainder of the season as we go on. And if we need to throw Aarons in on occasion, then, you know...
Yeah, he's an option. He's there. I mean, we were talking about it today as Tav. If everybody's fit, is Tav first choice right back just now? And I actually don't think he is.
Mm.
I think if everybody's fit, he picks Sterling, because Sterling obviously brings that athleticism and that height that we spoke about, that adaptability. Yeah. And he's also got a pretty decent engine. Certainly when he's fit, he's got a pretty decent engine at Sterling as well. His delivery is not nearly as good. Mm-hmm. He's not a goal threat in the same way that Tav is. But I suspect, on balance, everybody being fit, then I think we probably picks Sterling at right back before Tav. So, you know, Tav's got some competition for that place for, you know, arguably the first time in 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, he's got some proper competition. Let's see how he does. Let's see how he reacts to that. And you can't argue with tonight's, with this afternoon's performance.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And talking about competition for places, you know, there might be another person in the mix for that right back role, because, you know, we obviously finished 5-0 first half. Great performance. Second half, Sterling didn't come back out. Bijrami was subbed on for him, and we moved Ant-Man back to that right back spot, which I thought was interesting, actually, because, you know, I think Ant-Man's played there for Finland, but I thought him and Romans were beginning to get a wee good understanding on that left-hand side, so I was a bit disappointed to see him shifted to right back, but he actually did okay, and got the assist for Nadiri to get his second of the game.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I think when you're 5-0 up at half-time, you can put your left winger to right back. You know, and he's right footed, so you know, any particular issue there. You were looking at it initially thinking, what's this formation we're playing just now? And then you realised that's what he'd done. He did fine there, but I wouldn't like to see him start there against Motherwell or Hearts. You know, he did well. Look, we can go through every single player on the team. There was nobody who didn't do their job today. You know, it's against a certain type of opposition. If you get an opposition that's going to be sitting in, against an opposition that isn't actually going to be attacking you all that much, you know, playing someone like Ant-Man at fullback isn't actually that bad an idea, you know, because the fullbacks are going to be spending most of their time attacking. And as such, you know, having a very defensive fullback or a naturally defensive fullback probably doesn't really help you in that situation. As I said, I wouldn't like to see him start against Motherwell or Hearts there, but knowing he can do it, you know, that's great. Yeah, it's helpful, and you know, there will be games against teams, you know, your Livingston, your Kilmarnock, the teams who are going to be fighting for a point, scrapping, you know, not looking to come out. Maybe it's an option for those types of games.
Yeah, and I think the good thing for me as well, you know, Kelly game, this game, that's a goal and two assists that he's got, you know, scoring an assist against Kelly, which is good, and the assist from the Deary today. So at least he's contributing, which is good, and that'll do his confidence the world of good.
Because if you remember, I mean, when he first joined, he looked, you know, thinking, all right, okay, this guy looks all right, actually. Yeah, this guy looks like that. And then
he got Martin, got his hands on him.
Yeah, well, I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was a confidence thing. I don't know if it was just the fact the whole team was playing so awful, the place was toxic. Like you say, Russell Martin was maybe coaching him, which was probably no use to anybody. But if we had sold Ant-Man in January, I don't think any of us would have been terribly upset about that. Even if we'd let him go out on loan, I don't think any of us would have been terribly upset about that. But the truth is, we don't know what kind of player he is because we haven't seen enough of him. You know, we're all seeing him in training. You know, so he's got a clue as to what he can do. He's played at a decent level. So, you know, great. If he can get a tune out of him like he has out of other players who, frankly, I would have left at the side of the road somewhere, then brilliant. You know, that's fantastic. If he can do the same with Birjani, you know, if he can get a tune out of him because you know there's a player in there, if he can get him contributing, that's going to be really helpful over the next few months.
Absolutely. It's the depth thing that we need to go back to, isn't it? Because if we've got players who we can rotate, bring off the bench to add something to some of these games, it's going to be really, really important. And we kind of then made a few more changes. But to be honest, the game was pretty dead from that Nadiri goal to the last 10 minutes when we added the last two. You know, first, Miowski got on the end of a really good ball from Magoma to stick it away. And then actually, what I thought was probably the best goal of the game, the Chotwani goal. And the reason I really liked it was because of the pace of play. It was some great wee 1-2s. You know, he kind of started it off. And it was actually a really, really good finish. But, you know, it was probably just the perfect end to the game for us, really. You know, 8 goals, a clean sheet, no injuries. Can't really ask for much more than that, can you?
No. All you can ask is we do it again over the next two games. No, you can ask for no more than that. It was, as I said at the start, it was the game plan worked perfectly. Everybody did their job. I was quite pleased. I was pleased for Miowski. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been a disappointing signing. I was quite excited, is maybe not the right word, but I was quite pleased when we signed him. I thought, okay, you know, that's a guy who I think can score goals for Rangers with the chances we create. He hasn't looked it, but you know, he put a shift in today.
Yeah.
I think he preferred the role he played. I think it suited him a wee bit better. Again, maybe his confidence is up. Maybe he's just, you know what, maybe the whole place, the confidence is up, and he recognises that the players we've brought in have improved things, that some of the guys who maybe weren't playing so well earlier in the season have found a bit of form now. Maybe that's just given the whole place a lift, and you know, football, you know, a decent percentage of football is in the head. Belief and your own ability, belief in what the manager's telling you, belief that you can go on and do something that will make a difference in this match. So I was pleased he got his goal. It was a nice finish. And like you say, the final one was nice. You know, again, don't want to say too much, but I quite like the look of Chogwani. You know, he looks a very interesting midfielder. You know, he looks like a step up from Diomandé. Mm-hmm. And I know they've both come from Danish football. And it's, you know, you kind of expect Danish players to be, you know, technical. I know Diomandé isn't Danish, but you know, players who have played in that league, you know, to be technically quite good, but you know, perhaps not always at the absolute top level. But I like the look of what I've seen. But as I said, it's early days. Two, you know, relatively easier games.
Yeah,
so absolutely. Let's see what the next two bring.
So who gets your man of the match today? Obviously, I think in the stadium, it was Tav. I think Premier Sports, it was Nadiri who was desperate to give it back to Tav. But what about you?
I think he was a wee bit embarrassed. I mean, that, like you, that's my first real view of Nadiri. I'd certainly never seen him play for Hansa Rostock. So that's my first real view of him. I liked what I saw. You know, he worked really hard. He chased things down. He's mobile. He can obviously score goals with his head, which is helpful when you're 6'4". But he has got a physical presence, but he's got more than that. Now, so I didn't have a big problem with the fact that he got given man of the match because I thought he had a pretty good game. But I don't think you can see past. I don't think you can see past Tav. I think, you know, when your right back scores three goals, even if one of them's a penalty and one kind of goalie threw in, I still think. I mean, you could have given it to five or six of them. And you really could have given it to five or six of them. You know, you could give it to, you know, Chukwuemeka had a great game as well. Romans, as I said, I like the look of Romans. Ant-Man had a good game. You know, there was no shortage of potential candidates. I didn't have a problem with either of those two getting it. I probably would have given it to Tav. He pretty much played the whole game. And as I said, scored three, you know, assisted with one, another one. And generally speaking, had his best game for a while.
I don't think you can really argue with that, to be honest. And it's it was nice to have options, which is the key thing.
Exactly. Because sometimes we have this and we think, who's your man of the match? You think, well, none of those buggers deserve man of the match. They were all terrible. So it's nice to be in a completely different situation where you're thinking, yep, great.
And
wasn't that long ago we had the Hibs game where we were all so bloody frustrated and you know, just thought, ah, well, we've thrown it away again. So we try not to get too down after that. Try not to get too high after this one.
Absolutely.
Truth is somewhere in the middle.
Definitely. So we'll leave the Queen's game there now then, mate. And I wanted to just focus in on probably first impressions of some of the new signings. Now, we've already covered kind of two Romans in a bit of detail there. So we'll probably do Tochi Chukwuemeka next. And for me, I think he's got the look of a monster in the middle of the pitch. You know, a big physical imposing boy. And I know the Hibs result was disappointing, but I thought his ability to break up the play and his positioning in that game was really good for somebody you want in the six. But then I thought today we saw another side of his game, which was really good. You know, everything I felt went through him in midfield. He was, you know, the pace of ball and his passing range was really, really good. But I felt that he was like a real threat going forward as well, obviously getting his goal top that off as well. And I think he could be a really, really useful signing to free up the likes of Raskin and Diamandi or whoever else is going to play in that midfield with him, because he'll give the protection to those players to kind of go forward a wee bit more and know that we've got somebody there that can mop things up a wee bit.
I mean, I couldn't disagree with anything you said there. He, you know, physically he's enough, as we keep going back to 6'1" or whatever he is. So, you know, he brings a physical presence that clearly Raskin and Barron don't have. You know, he looks industrious. He's got an eye for goal, which is something that Diomande doesn't have and Barron definitely doesn't have. Raskin contributes some goals, but those two don't. And goals from midfield is something we've been missing this season. Goals from forwards is something we've been missing this season, but goals from midfield we've definitely been missing. So if he's a guy that can contribute 7, 8, 9 goals a season, then that's definitely good. In the first few viewings of him, I've been impressed. He reads the game well. He breaks up play, which is what you need from that. You know, you need someone who sees that attack happening and just slows it down before it becomes dangerous. But he also looks like he can contribute going forward. So, you know, the all-round midfielder. So as I said, everything I'm saying is with the caveat we're playing against the team who are fighting relegation to the Championship. And against Kilmarnock, they were down to 10 men for almost the entire match. Both of those games were at home. So that's as nice an introduction to playing for Rangers as you can get. You know, we're going to be away at Fir Park against a Motherwell team who by all accounts, are playing very good football and are in, you know, having a decent season. And then we've got the league leaders at home. So two more difficult games. I think I'll make a full judgment after those two. But I like what I've seen so far. I've been impressed with him. And, you know, I just hope he pushes on. And I tell you what's great, and my cousin texted me this today. You know, we heard a lot in the summer about players, you know, they need time. They need time to fit in. And, you know, of the four we've signed, you know, three of them have absolutely hit the ground running. I've just read that as well. So is that the way that's been written? Does that mean we've got them at home?
It sounds like it, yeah. I'll double check that while you're talking.
The producer in your ear, yes. Okay, so anybody, if you're watching this tonight, Ben, I'll let you, Ben, Rob, I'll let you tell them what that news is.
It's a home tie, Rangers versus Celtic. So there you go, quarterfinals of the Cup. Fantastic.
We've put in one Glasgow team who wears hoops to the sword, but I'm fairly confident we can do it to the next ones. Okay. Well, we'll no doubt have a wee chat about that before the end of the show. But I've been impressed, and you know, I'm really hoping that recruitment is something that we are now going to be getting right, because of those three, I think Skev Olsen at 26 is the oldest. So, you know, he's a guy with 40 caps for, you know, he's a proper professional. He's a guy who brings experience as well as ability. A guy who's played in the Bundesliga, a guy who's played in the Belgian league, a guy with European experience. So he's bringing all that. But the other three are young. You know, the other three still fit that mould that the club has been telling us about, that, you know, that's what they're going to do. And yet all three of them have hit the ground running. They've all come in and looked like, you know, yeah, we know what we're going to be doing, and just kind of let us get on with it, which is fantastic. You know, if someone had said Russell Martin wants to sign a guy from the German third division for £5 million, I think we would have been upset about that. We'd have been like, this is insanity. You know, Roll in a very short time has shown us that he maybe knows what he's doing. And so we're a bit more relaxed about it. But you know, I like the look of Chukwuemeka. I think he's pretty decent.
Yeah, I think the other thing from his point of view and from Scott Wilson's point of view, both won leagues. You know, Scott Wilson with Bruges and Chukwuemeka's just coming off the Austrian title with Sturm Graz. Yeah. So know what it takes to get over the course of a season. You know, it's a bit different to Russell Martin talking about Joe Rothwell being a winner because he won the championship with Leeds. You know, to me that doesn't really count. Yes, it might be a competitive league, but it's not the Premier Division of your country. So I think that's really good. And for me, you know, the first impressions of Nadiri are really, really good. You know, I was sceptical when we signed him because I thought it looked like a bit of a panic buy because of the timing and because it, you know, we were linked to a couple of other strikers and we didn't get any of them in, and then all of a sudden, you know, we paid more money to get them now rather than wait to the summer. But I think the thing that I really like about him is that, you know, if you compare him and what we've seen at Chirmiti so far, and this is obviously limited minutes with what Nadiri's doing, he is still trying to bring people into play, but it is more when he's laying off that ball, his first instinct is, I need to get into the box now to be in the dangerous position, where I think sometimes Chirmiti misses that. He doesn't have that natural instinct for a striker, which is, I need to get in between the sticks and I need to be there. And there was a number of times today where there was balls coming in from either flank and he was making front post runs.
Yeah.
It was great to see your striker do that, you know, when we've not had it done.
That's ridiculous, like, isn't it?
And to me, that's a really promising thing, because when I saw the clips on YouTube and stuff, my worry was, we're not creating anywhere like the chances that he's scoring in Germany. So how the hell is he going to be effective?
Yeah.
But all of a sudden you see that actually there could be something to this here, and we might actually have a decent player now. Granted, Kelly was the first time we saw him, and today he's scored two against Queen's Park. But the test is going to come Motherwell, Hearts, Livy, Celtic. Those are the real games that we need them to be contributing in.
Yeah. I mean, I think we have to accept that he is a young player. He's basically played professional football for about 18 months. He's a young player. He's come from, you know, he's come from a lower league. Even if it's the German lower league, it's still a lower league. He's a guy who, you know, from what I understand, he's a guy for whom people did think, you know, he was at, did you mention Gladbach, I think it was he was at? And it was then that let him go. So he was a guy who was, a decent mid-table Bundesliga side, and eventually he was let go, and you know, didn't make it with them, and he went down the leagues and he started again. Well, you know what? There's been quite a few players who've had to do that in their careers and gone to have very, very good careers. Mm-hmm. The fact that we found him, the fact that he was keen to come, I think all goes in his favour. You know, we'll see. It was a lot of money to spend on him. It might prove to be an absolute bargain.
Absolutely.
Who knows? You know, I mean, you just don't know. What I'd say is, in the limited time I've seen him, he looks to be giving us something that we didn't have before. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to Danilo, but I think he's bringing something that Danilo wasn't offering us. And as such, you know, if we're looking at it as a kind of swap, one in, one out, then I think we've probably got the better of that deal just now. He looks more suited to Scottish football, and, you know, a bit more robust, a guy who you know, quite enjoys that side of the game. Mm-hmm. So let's wait and see. But I like what I've seen. The little I've seen of him, I quite like. And I'm nervous about saying anything, but I know we have to give an opinion, and that's part of football. You know, you make an opinion based on not a lot of information. I say that because, you know, I remember the first couple of times I saw Agamani, and I'm thinking, geez, oh, you know, what have we bought him for? You know, and then, you know, after a few months, all of a sudden it clicked. And there's a wee bit of that with Chermiti, not quite as good, but the last few matches you saw Chermiti, you suddenly thought, hang on, okay, you're starting to contribute now. You still don't look like much of a goal threat, yeah, but you're starting to contribute now. We're starting to see a bit more from you. We're starting to see maybe what other people were seeing and seeing that. So, early doors, I'm liking him. And I'd be more than happy if he was the guy who started up front on Wednesday.
Yeah. Aye, and that's a good segue into now, because, you know, we've got four games coming up that will probably go a long way to shaping how robust our title challenge is going to be this year. You know, we've got Motherwell away during the week. We've got Hearts at Ibrox next weekend. The Livy game should take care of itself, but it's never a given, because there'll always be a stuffy team in the plastic pitches, a bit of a leveller. And then we round it out with a home tie against Celtic. We've also then now got another home tie against Celtic, because that's the weekend of the 7th. So two Old Firm games at Ibrox within a week. You know, if we can come through those games, that should give us a real boost in terms of belief as a squad. You know, we've already kind of got the confidence rising based on what Danny Rule's come in and done over the last 10 games and beyond. But if we can come through that ahead, then the players have got to believe that they can win this bloody title, can't they?
I think the players do believe they can win the title. I think the manager believes they can win the title. They're not going to talk about that too much just now, but I think they believe they can. I think the manager believes they can. You know, I think the board think they can. They've backed them. You know, they spent a bit of money in January. Criticism we may make of them, they spent a bit of money in January. They didn't do that because they thought, well, the league's gone this year, we'll look to the summer. They clearly think, and quite rightly, they should, because it's in our own hands. I'm looking forward to the next two games. And that's not something I've always been feeling this season. But I'm looking forward to the next two games. I really am interested to see how we do against Motherwell, because I've seen them against us. And they caused us some problems, there's no doubt. They did cause us some problems. I saw them against Celtic. You know, I've seen them a couple of times in highlights as well. And they do play nice football. You know, they do. They're composed. The boy up front's a handful. He's fast. You know, he's got a trick. And he's certainly got an eye for goal. It'll be a hard game. You know, Firth Park on Wednesday night will be cold. Probably unpleasant. The pitch probably won't be brilliant. You know, Firth Park's it's a wee bit elevated. It always feels cold at Firth Park this time of year. Mm-hmm. The Motherwell fans will be up for it. You know, they're loving this. So it's going to be a harder game. And yet, I'm getting into that thinking, no, I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to seeing what, you know, okay, this will give us an indication of where this team is. And I'm really looking forward to seeing Hearts, because I think we're getting Hearts at the right time. Obviously, they drop points, you know, losing the way to St. Mirren. They're playing Hibs Tuesday night. You know, they're playing Hibs on Tuesday night. That's going to be a hard game. Whatever happens, that's a hard game. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the game now on Saturday night. I appreciate a lot can happen. You know, a lot can happen. We got a poor result on Wednesday and our heads will be down and who knows. But I'm looking forward to both those games because I think it will tell us exactly where we are. But I think our management team believe that this league is a league we can win. We know we can. We, you know, we draw with Celtic the first game, which was the oddest Rangers Celtic game I can remember. I think both teams were into it, just decided they didn't want to lose. We lost to them in the cup and we were very unlucky. We played most of that game with 10 men. And we were unlucky to lose that game, I thought. There was very little between the teams, which surprised me. But there was very little between it. We then obviously beat them at Parkhead. I think we just have to write that off now, because they were being managed by a man who was clearly incapable of, the guy who made Russell Martin look like a evil sacky. I mean, I just think we just have to forget about that. They're a different team again now. They're the team we played in the Scottish Cup, or the League Cup rather. That's the team we're playing. They've got a few new players themselves. They may be good, they may be bad. I don't know. I don't know a lot about the guys they've signed. So they're going to give us a game. Referees have obviously been instructed to let them keep playing until they score. You know what? When you see they're scoring in the 97th minute of 5 minutes of injury time, you know, yeah, okay. It's going to be one of these seasons. So let's get through these two games.
Yeah.
You just, you know, you don't, if you can get 6 points in these next two games, 6 points in these next two games, we're probably top of the league. And then let's see where we are. You hope the Livingston game takes care of itself, and then it will be interesting, because they'll be up for it. They know they need to. They know that we are in a good position. They're not daft. They understand that. They probably still expect us to falter, but you know, let's just prove them wrong. You know, it's the 37-year-old manager against the 74-year-old manager, whatever. So you know, let's see. But I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. It's a strange feeling. It's not one that I feel normally. Not normally at Rangers in recent times, you know. But it's been okay recently. You know, you can see what we're doing. I like the team, how they're playing. I like the fact that sometimes we win ugly, and then sometimes we win really well. But you know, two games where you score 5 goals and 8 goals. Well, we should be smiling. So I'm looking forward to these two games, and I think when you're sitting top, 3 points off the team that are top, and you're playing them in 2 games' time, you have to look at that and say, yeah, of course we're in a chance of winning this league. Do we have the players to do it? I don't know yet, because I don't know the players well enough. We know we have a couple of players in that squad who have let us down in the past. But actually, it's quite a new squad. You know, when the bulk of that squad are new. You know, none of them are the only Tav still there from Gerrard's time. You know, so none of them have won the league here before. But like you say, some of them have won the league elsewhere.
I'm the same, mate. I mean, I think the big one for me is Wednesday. You know, I think if you can get through that game against Motherwell, because again, the one thing for them, well, they're playing some nice football, they also haven't conceded a lot in the last 10 games. I think they've only conceded 2 goals
in the last 10 games. Best defence in the league, I think.
You know, and as you say, the boy Matsuhisi, is on fire this season. But the great thing is, you know, we've got Suter and big Manny Fernandez that come back into that back line for that game. And again, we've got so many different options now, which is the great thing. You know, we could go three at the back, we can go 4-4-2, we can do the usual kind of 4-2-3-1. There's loads of different variations now that we've got with Danny as manager that means that it's going to be difficult for opposition to second guess us.
Yeah.
And I think that's the real good thing about it. For me, it is, as you say, get 3 points against Motherwell. That gives us a massive boost for getting into that Hearts game and beating them at Ibrox, because we should really have beaten them at Ibrox when we played them there earlier in the season. I know we weren't great, but there was obviously a couple of dubious decisions that day that cost us. But if we cannot, as a fan base, be excited about the position that we're in, and it's crazy. And I think that's where we need to give the players and the team real backing now. You know, is believing in them that actually they've dragged themselves back into this position. We've got every right now to feel positive and actually say, you know, keep taking it one game at a time. But if these points keep ticking over and we keep winning, then absolutely, it is going to be game on, and it is certainly going to be fun for the last kind of 10 games or whatever's going to be left of the season.
You know, that's all you can ask for. You know, when you bear in mind we were at the start of the season, we were after, you know, in September. You know, if you and I had been on then, I would said, you know what, don't worry about it. By the early February, we'll be 3 points off the top and looking good. You know, I wouldn't have believed you. I would not have believed you. It just, that seemed fanciful. So we're right to enjoy it, because they've made us miserable this season. You know, they have made us miserable this season. They made us miserable last season. They made us miserable the season before. So, yeah, you know, I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to make the most of this, because they will make me miserable again at some point in the future. So, I'm old enough to remember, you know, that you know, these things come in cycles. Mm-hmm. And we're in an interesting one just now. Celtic have had a funny season. The core of that team is still the team that's won the league last three seasons. Mm-hmm. It's still the core of that team. Yeah, there's a few of the, you know, influential players have moved on, but still the core of that team has won leagues, knows how to win leagues. And they've got a pragmatist in charge who knows how to win leagues. So, you know, we'll count them out at our peril. Mm-hmm. Hearts, I don't know. I keep waiting for Hearts to slip. You just assume they will. Be interesting to see how they do against Hibs now, because they've obviously had that poor result away to St Mirren. You know, if they drop points against Hibs, the nerves will set in. And I don't know if Derek McInnes knows how to manage that. You know, I don't know. We'll find out. But even if they don't, even if they put five past Hibs, still down to us. You know, it's all in our own hands, and that's all you can ask, Rob, is you know what, we just need to go and win our next two games, and then let's see where we are next Sunday night.
Absolutely.
Because we might be somewhere nice, that might be good.
Absolutely. And I think that is a great way to finish off, John. You know, I'd like to say a massive, massive thank you. It's never easy when it's just the two of us sometimes, but I felt we
probably it's nice and intimate, Rob, and that's what counts.
It was nice and intimate, mate. And I was going to say, I felt we probably could have talked for longer, but I think Frankie would absolutely barter both of us if we went past the hour mark on this. So we'll finish nice and early, let him get away to his bed.
It's late on a Sunday night. He's got school tomorrow.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much, John.
Thank you.
As well as being live on YouTube, folks, the show will be available on all podcasting platforms, your usual places, iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher, etc. in the coming days. There will be a show on Friday night. Frankie is just working out the scheduling, so check out the Twitter feed and the Jizznet forums for details of who will be on that. But all that's left for me is to say a massive thank you to everybody that has been watching live on YouTube, and to anybody that is listening or watching us back. Thanks very much.